Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Nathan. I'm the pastor here at Genesis Boyne, and welcome to week two of our How to Build a Ship series. And what we're doing in this series is we're exploring five different areas that can help us build healthy, godly relationships. And while I would say the ideas that we're talking about here today, they could work for any relationship, we really want to focus on relationships with those close to you. So your friends, your family, your spouse.
So am I on?
Sure.
Okay. Last week, we started with the basics of how to be a good friend, which if you missed, you can feel free to check out on our website at genesisboyne.com. And for this week, we're going to be discussing how to communicate without fighting.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. This topic can be a very delicate issue for some of you guys. And I mean, I know how you feel. And it's becoming harder and harder for us to be able to manage to do. And part of the reason that it's becoming more difficult is because of what we are feeding into our lives. So Proverbs 4:23 says it this way, that we need to guard our hearts above everything else because it determines the course of our lives. So we need to avoid all perverse talk. We need to stay away from speech that is corrupting. So that's what the Bible says. And for many of us, corrupting speech has become a form of entertainment. So when you look at reality shows, and we'll just name the big ones, we're not singling anything out, but like think of The Bachelor or Survivor or Big Brother. They are built to create fighting in real situations. And even if you look at the top-rated shows, ESPN, MTV, Fox News, MSNBC, ETV, and CNN, all of their top-rated shows are just about people screaming at each other. I mean, they're shouting about who has the ugliest shoes or which politician is more evil or, you know, whether the NFL overtime rules work. Answer is, they do not. They never have. I don't know if they ever will. That's a different story. But the thing is, we eat up this manufactured drama. We eat up this perverse talk, and we watch people just verbally tear each other apart. And I just to kind of prove to you guys, I just want to show you a little montage that I put together of exactly what I am talking about.
The first person
Wait a minute.
This
Kaylee,
is what everyone does.
But no, Kaylee, I mentioned Largo, something and then you
screamed. Kaylee, time out.
Let me finish what I was saying.
Kaylee, but I need you to retract what you said.
I know you don't want me to get this
lied.
Out there.
Wait, hold on.
Is this coming from
you?
It's about who you're going to get.
Is this coming from the same guys?
Departed science. I'm asking you specific questions.
In the Trump administration believes
that climate change. All of you guys immediately go, when asked a simple question, you go to, I'm a good person, I care.
Like I asked you the last time, do you understand?
5 seconds, but like your soliloquies, which takes five minutes,
and
you acting like we in a class
out.
At Columbia.
Time out.
You want to put a clock
time
on? Oh, and CNN didn't have time to let people elaborate on their response, but they had time to start some beefs.
You support Medicare for all. Congressman Delaney just referred to it as bad policy, and previously he has called the idea political suicide that will just get President Trump reelected. What do you say to Congressman Delaney? In the last debate, she said, the politicians who are not supporting Medicare for all simply lack the will to fight for it. You do not support Medicare for all. Is Senator Warren correct? Do you just not lack the will to fight? Who on the stage is making promises just to get elected?
I felt like at any moment they were about to go like, oh, by the way, Elizabeth, did you notice that Klobuchar totally stole your look? Just saying. And look, don't get me, I'm not saying CNN wanted fights just to gin up the ratings. I'm just saying it was a little suspicious when they even lowered that cage over the stage.
So who in here feels more stressed out having watched that than they did before that clip?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a little scary that we find that entertaining because over time it has an effect on us. Not only does the Bible say it's not a good idea, modern science agrees with it. Psychological studies are now showing us that the more that we put in, the more that we watch people fight on TV, the more that we lose the ability to communicate civilly with each other on things that we disagree with. By any chance have any of you guys noticed that in society? Yeah, there you go. That's why we're here today, to discuss how to have godly conversations specifically with those that you love. And before we really jump into this, I want to offer a disclaimer. This sermon will not fix your entire life. I know, people are complicated, but I don't think we're going to get the whole world's problems fixed here in 30 minutes. Because humans communicating, it's weird and it's confusing and it doesn't always make sense and it doesn't turn out the way that you think that it would or should. But we can today take a step. Take a step. Take a step in communicating better with our loved ones without fighting. And since you did most of the talking last week, I'm going to go ahead and start with the first one that I feel like makes a really, really big difference. It's being grateful for what you have. And it's amazing to me that so many people constantly complain about their relationships. I mean, they do it all the time, and you're with them, and they gripe about the person to their face, and then they complain about the person to other people.
And I can't tell you how often I've been out with a group of women, and it turns into this husband-bashing session of, well, he didn't do this, and I wish he would, or he does this all the time, and it drives me crazy, or he didn't say this, or he does say that. And all of the things just turn into this, he is a terrible person, and it's just sad.
Well, and again, science complements the Bible, because research shows that our brains create paths in our minds. So it's like if you walk in a path through the forest, you're trying to make your own path. The first time, you're going to have to work through the shrubs, and you're going to have to try to figure out your way through. But if you do it every day, if you do it hundreds of times, that path is going to get worn in, and it's going to become easier and easier to navigate. Our brains work the same way, which means if you only think of your loved ones in a negative light, eventually you're going to have a hard time breaking that path. You're going to have a hard time getting a good perspective on them. So reducing your negative output is one huge part of the mental equation. But we also need to take it a step further. We have to replace that with something. So not only do we need to eliminate the negative paths in our minds, we need to create positive paths. And here's how we do it. The first thing is we try to be thankful. Just try to be thankful for the ones that you love. I mean, thank God for them in your prayers and thank them personally for being in your life.
1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 puts it, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Jesus Christ." And that's something that Nathan is really good at, and it makes me feel loved. So when he sees something that he's thankful for, he says it immediately. And that is such a good habit, to just say it, no matter how silly it is. Thank you for taking out the trash. Thank you for putting the dishes in the dishwasher. Thank you for going and picking up the library books.
And usually, thank you for making dinner. I will starve to death otherwise. You guys know because you heard the cooking conversation from a couple of weeks ago. But saying thanks, I mean, it's something that we work hard to do because we want to create those positive mental paths. So the first thing is to be thankful for the ones that you love. And the second is very similar, to be complimentary to the ones that you love. Again, like Jenny was saying, the moment you think of it, just say it. You are so good at taking care of me. I really like the potatoes you made last night. Or I thought you did a wonderful job with handling that issue with the kids today. Proverbs 3 says it this way, 3:27. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. Like, when we have something good to say about someone we love, why would we withhold it from them? I mean, it's kind of silly. And it can even be a thing that you do or they do all the time. So it might be your kid's job to take out the garbage. But you can still thank them when they do it. And then all those words of affirmation, they're going to reinforce over time and create positive paths. They're going to put positive paths, and they're going to help you build a pattern that says you are thankful. You are grateful for the people that God's put in your life. And I would also say for the other person, it's a bunch of little encouragement chips that add up over time. So that way when Jenny might happen to say something like, hey, You know you haven't mowed the backyard since July?
This may or may not be a true story.
Don't drive by my house. I'm getting ready to leave for a couple weeks, so it's going to be like October and it hasn't been mowed since July. But that's a whole different thing. You know, when she says something like that, I don't get my dander up. I don't think, all right, that's it. You're being critical. We are going to fight right now. Like, I usually think, all right, yeah, that's a pretty reasonable request. But that's because she's built a foundation of encouragement, so I'm not immediately spoiling for a fight. So being grateful for what God has blessed you with is a huge piece of having healthy communication. So then that's kind of my big thing. What would you say is a big thing for you?
I think it builds off of your encouragement chips in the fact that you need to build trust daily. And I talked about trust last week, so I'll try and keep it a little short. But again, trust is so important to having healthy communication. If you don't trust someone and you don't trust how they're going to react, your relationship's not going to work well. Proverbs 18:19 says, "An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars." So for example, when I first got into my relationship with Nathan, I was pretty gun-shy about men because I'd had a good number of not great boyfriends. They would tell me that they love me and then bail. And then at the end of however long we were dating, which was not that long usually, they would out of the blue just dump me, sometimes saying things like, "I really love you, but we can't be together anymore." So I just didn't have a lot of trust for men. So there's Nathan. And I figure he's doing the same thing. He's telling me he loves me, but he's going to leave. Or he's saying all these nice things and doing these nice things, and he's just going to be done someday and dump me. But the thing is, he kept on saying it, and he kept on saying it until now, 15 years later. He's still saying he loves me and encouraging me daily. But he's not just giving me words. He's also giving me actions. He's consistent. He shows me he cares by showing up on time. He keeps his promises. He plans surprises for me and dates.
And all those things are little pieces that are adding up a foundation of trust.
It does. I mean, he still opens the car door for me. And we've been married for, what, 13 years now?
Yes, 13 years.
Still does it. And it just lets me know that he is someone to rely on. Proverbs 31:10 through 12 says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life."
And yeah, that's kind of your Proverbs 31 woman, but the thing is, it's for a wife, but it also applies for a husband. It applies for a friend. That trust doesn't happen quickly. It doesn't happen over the course of, like, it usually happens over the course of months and over years. But it means that now, if there's something that I'm beginning to feel like, all right, this could turn into a bit of a fight down the road, I'm comfortable with going to Jenny. I'm comfortable with telling her because I trust she cares for me enough for us to weather this because we have a foundation of trust.
Yeah, and if we didn't have that foundation of trust and something came up that was kind of going to be rough, I might just hide it and let it fester because I don't really trust what's going to happen if I tell him. And then eventually that's going to come out and it's going to explode and probably over something that's only somewhat related, catch him totally off guard and turn it into this enormous fight. So all of that to say, build up trust daily. Be a man or woman of your word. Affirm your friendships and your relationships so that when a tough time does come, you have that foundation of trust. So, when you see something that is frustrating you, something that might lead to a fight, what's the first thing you try to do?
I try to talk about it as soon as possible. And this really does complement what you were just saying about a lot of people, they hide things and they let it fester up and then it explodes. Like, don't do that. Don't let things build. Try to do your best to nip it in the bud before it gets out of control. And I know I have a lot of friends who, when they have a problem, they're just kind of like, well, I'm going to hide my head in the sand, and I'm going to hope that my friend or my spouse, they'll just randomly out of the blue figure out the problem. And it's like, well, that doesn't often happen without you saying something. And so if you feel like something's not quite right, when you very first notice it, just be like, oh, hey, could you not keep telling the story about the thing I did under anesthesia to everybody?
Thanks for bringing that up in front of everyone, that that's something
yes,
you want to
stop. But now I have officially said not to tell that story in front of everybody, and now they all want to really hear the
right?
story.
You should ask. It's hilarious.
No, you should not. It's terrible. So doing that, as opposed to waiting, there's 100 of you in here, to say the 100th time, then be like, stop telling the story. So get it out there while it's small, not once it gets big. And Proverbs 25 kind of complements this idea that it says, timely advice is lovely. It's like golden apples in a silver basket. To the one who listens, valid criticism is like a gold earring or other gold jewelry. And again, doing some research this week, studies show that 70% of fights are about the same one or two topics. And you're like, okay, so what exactly does that mean? Well, it means that we're not fighting about 100 different things. In reality, we are getting into the same lifelong fights about one or two different things that happen over and over and over and over again. So a lot of times it's about money. Maybe it's about how to clean the house or some chores. Maybe it's about how you raise your kids. But it's the same thing that just keeps coming back around and around for your entire life. So try to get to discussing those things before they turn into monsters. And I know some of you guys, when we've had talks like this before, have been like, thanks a lot, guys. I mean, you could have told me this like 10 years ago. But my issue is now I'm stuck. We're in a fighting cycle. We've been doing this. It's not like I can just hit the reset button. So for somebody who's feeling like that, they're like, I'm stuck in the cycle. I can't hit the reset button. What do I do? How do I escape a fight cycle?
I would say that for some things, you just need to let it go. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 gives us a good reason why. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So the things that don't really matter, the little things, you need to just let slide. And we have to remember that in the grand scheme of life, there are a lot of things that we want to get bent out of shape and just start World War III over, but they're little. Mm-hmm. For example, dishes, they're my job. But sometimes Nathan can tell, I am hurting a lot today and I don't feel good. So he'll be kind and he'll put away the dishes for me. But he doesn't always put them the same place that I would put them.
I put them the way that I put them.
Right? And so I could take this one of two ways. Either I could be happy and thankful for the fact that he took time from his busy schedule to help me with my job and just let go that the forks and knives are in different spots than I would put them. Or I could gripe at him about the fact that the dishes aren't in their proper places and get mad at him and just sit there and tear him down for it. But in the end, that's a little self-defeating because he just went out of his way to do something for me. And if I reward that act of love and service by saying, you didn't do it right, and you need to do it this way and this way and this way, what are the odds you're going to do it again?
Not good.
Right. Next time you're going to see, hey, she's really hurting. I'd like to do something for her, but I'm sure not doing the dishes because I'm just going to get in trouble again, and she's not going to like that I did it for her, so I'm stepping out on that. So what have I done? I've hurt him for chastising him for doing something nice, and I've hurt myself because it's one more thing that he's just never going to help me with again. It's lose-lose. And for what? Because the dishes aren't in the right place? Does it really matter? Now, if it's something that's a little bit bigger, like, say we have Japanese lacquerware and you can't put it in the dishwasher or you're going to ruin it and it's kind of expensive, I would say in a kind tone of voice, could you remember that the lacquerware needs to be hand-washed so that it doesn't break? But past that, I need to just let some of my preferences go because they don't matter. And they especially don't matter when they're compared to the value of our love and the long-term stability of our relationship. And sometimes the letting things go ends up being for really big things too. If it's something that was a big mistake and he knows that it was a mistake and it costs us thousands of dollars.
This may or may not also have happened at one or two times.
Right? Me too. In the end, it's painful, it hurts, but it didn't kill us, so I need to let it go.
Yeah, and by the way, if it did kill you, you don't have to worry about it anymore, so you're good. But sometimes the matter is a little bit bigger than the dishes. Like, it's something like, we've got to make a huge decision to move across the country, or for us, across the world. Maybe it's a life-altering mistake that I made.
Right, it's this harmful habit that just keeps coming up.
Yeah. In that case, you can't just be like, oh, you know, I'll just let it go. We have to do something else. But before you can talk to a loved one, it's almost always good that you actually listen first. And I know. This is way easier said than done. But James 1:19 says it this way, that we need to understand, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen. So quick to listen first. Slow to speak second, and definitely slow to get angry. So just try to listen like a little bit more than you talk. Because you'd be amazed, and you probably know a lot of people like this, where both sides want to talk a whole lot more than they want to listen. But if you'll just start with the listening, it will often diffuse a person because it shows that you care enough to listen to them about their feelings and their hurts. So just go to your friend or your spouse or your mom and be like, hey, this thing's been, I know it's been bothering us, and we keep fighting about it. We keep kind of butting heads. So whenever you're ready, if it's a day, if it's a week, whatever, let's sit down. I just want to take time and I want to listen. I want to listen to what you're saying. And if what you say, it takes 10 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour, whatever, I just want to sit and hear you out. And maybe you need to bring a notebook so you can write down the thing so you can make sure to go back and review it. Thoughts?
Well, I said a little bit about this last week, but hopefully the person that you're listening to cares enough about you to not make this listening session a chance to just eviscerate you. Mm. Proverbs 18:24 says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. But the thing is, sometimes that does happen, even with someone that you love. And if that happens, you're gonna feel really hurt. And you're probably gonna wanna lash out and just eviscerate them right back and tear them apart. But that's not gonna help. So you need to try and keep your mouth shut. Maybe you need to say, thanks for sharing. That's a lot to think about, and I need to get back to you. Maybe you need to cut them short and say, this is really hurting me right now. Let's get back to this later. I need to go and think, but I'm getting angry, and I'm sorry. And just leave before it turns back into a big fight.
Yeah, because if it turns back into a big fight, that's the worst thing, because now you've completely undermined all the work that you just put in. So really the best result, the result that you're hoping for, you're praying for, is that the other person then at some point would be ready to listen to your perspective on things too. But you can't force that. So maybe that's another day, it's another week, it's another month, once everybody's had the chance to calm down and to process. But I will say, if both of you guys can have good listening sessions, it's going to be a major step to being able to salvage your marriage or your friendship before it disintegrates. And I know you are a super amazing listener, because sometimes I have a lot to say. Is there anything that you would like to add on listening?
I would like to talk more to the speaker in this scenario. When you have someone who is actually ready to listen to you and consider what you're saying, make sure that you take time to speak carefully, thoughtfully, and clearly. When you're talking to someone about something that you're really upset about, talk about the actual issue, not around the issue, because it just makes everybody confused. Yeah, so that means when we have an issue, we need to speak clearly, thoughtfully, and carefully. Don't just drop hints that you hope that they're going to pick up, which goes to don't be passive-aggressive about the issue. Don't talk about side issues and symptoms of the issue like that's the actual problem. Don't beat around the bush and say a whole lot of words around the issue and not talk about the actual thing that's bothering you. It just turns it into this game of telephone. If you never say what is actually hurting you, how do you expect the other person to know? And the other thing is, if the person is sitting down and ready to listen, don't take that as an opportunity to attack them.
Yeah, and Proverbs 15 says it this way, that a gentle answer deflects anger, but a harsh word is going to make tempers flare.
Which is so true. So don't take this as, I'm going to come out, start out guns blazing and accusatory and put the other person in their place, which is only going to put them on the defensive. So if you start by tearing them to pieces, it's a good odds that it's going to turn into a fight because instead of them listening, they're just going to be hurt and they're not going to be able to understand. And they're just not going to be able to hear you because they're just too preoccupied by all your hurtful words and what that makes them feel. And so one of the ways to deal with this is bring it to I statements, not you statements. So instead of coming with you always or you never, say, I'm struggling here. I'm feeling hurt when this happens. Can you help me solve this? And sometimes in this situation, you really don't know what the root of the problem is. You know that you're mad about the dishes, but you know that the dishes are stupid. So you don't know why you're hurt. You don't know why you're mad. But you just know that you're upset. So why not take this as an opportunity to ask them to help you figure out what it is that you're mad about by taking the time to listen to how you're feeling? And one more thing in this that I'd like to add is that sometimes, no matter how much you're trying, you are just so mad that it is boiling up inside of you.
Yeah, and when you mentioned that, it made me think of David in Psalm 39. And, I mean, David, man, after God's own heart, you know, kind of David and Goliath, big, important guy. It's Psalm 39. He's trying to tamp down some feelings, but he's like, he's straight up got a fire burning in his gut. And so this is a really fascinating passage to me, Psalm 39. This is just one of the Psalms. David's like, all right, I said to myself, I'm going to do it. I'm going to watch what I do. I'm not going to sin in what I say. I'm going to do it. I'm going to hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But then I'm standing there in silence. I wasn't even, speaking of the good things. All of a sudden, this turmoil within me, and it just starts growing worse. And the more I thought about it, the hotter I got, and it's just started igniting this fire of words. And this is what he had to remind himself. Lord, remind me how brief my time on this earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. That you have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. And my entire life, it's just a moment to you. I mean, each of us, at best, we're a breath.
And that is exactly what we were saying whenever we say, sometimes you just got to let it go. David, in the end, just let it go by focusing on eternity and on God. But for that little bit, he was boiling inside. He had a fire of words that wanted to come out. So sometimes if you are that mad, that is a bad time to try and start a conversation to solve a problem. So when we said ASAP, ASAP doesn't always mean immediately. It means as soon as possible. So as soon as it's possible to get the words out without being intentionally hurtful. If that person wants to listen and you're not in a good headspace to talk, don't talk. Your goal is not to wound them. It's to try and resolve the issue and hear each other. If you feel like your goal is to pummel that person or belittle the person that you love, you need to take a break and wait until you're able to talk about it without using hurtful words. You just need to tell them, not just walk out, but tell them, I am too angry right now to not say hurtful things, so I need to leave. I will talk to you about this later once I have calmed down. And so then, once you've calmed down, talk to them as soon as possible.
Yeah. And that may take a while, but it is essential to being able to keep this thing calm. And I feel like, I hope that each of these steps are things that we can process, that we can figure out better ways to calmly think through how to dismantle some pretty tricky bombs when you see, all right, they're ticking and it's getting ready to just explode. But ultimately, I want to go back to where we started and clearly reemphasize people are complicated. Communication can still get messy. But fortunately, there is one method that is foolproof and is absolutely guaranteed to work. When you feel like you're having problems, when you feel like all you do when you communicate is fight, there's a great solution. You pray about it, and you do what God says. That's the ultimate answer, and it's what we tend to go back to here at Genesis Point. And I get the fact that it seems overly obvious, but you would be amazed how many people try all the rest of those things in their life, but forget to bring it up to God. Or they'll go and they'll talk to their friends and they'll talk to their parents and they'll talk to the therapist and they'll get like a self-help book. But they don't bother to pray and speak with our Maker about it. Prayer and Scripture are always going to be the right places to start when you're trying to build a relationship. Because in the end, relationships are hard. I mean, a relationship is essentially two imperfect people trying to be close to each other. And that means they can either help each other be stronger or they can also see their imperfections just rub all up against each other. But if we can build up trust, if we can not get so worked up about the little things, if we can diffuse situations before they get too monstrously big, we can just take the time and listen to each other. If we can seek God in all that we do, then maybe, just maybe, we can begin to have godly relationships with our loved ones where we can communicate without fighting.